Assistant for the Servant Leadership Institute. I've been working with them for 2.5 years. I have 2 kids, Travis and Wyatt, who are 10 and 8 respectively.
Great.
And hi everybody, my name is Letty Green. I am with Datron World Communications. I'm the executive assistant to the CFO, and I've been here almost 10 years next month. I have a blended family, so our children range from 23, 17, and 9.
Great. And I also have a blended family. I have children who are 25, 21, and then our son is 10. So we've got a wide range of people. And I have been with the company now for about 3.5 years and have been enjoying this journey through servant leadership as well as you guys have. So one of the things I really want to start with is we at Servant Leadership Institute really focus on the 9 behaviors of servant leadership. And just to quickly recap what those are, serve first, build trust, live your values, listen to understand, think about your thinking, add value to others, demonstrate courage, increase your influence, and live your transformation. And what I find interesting about all those behaviors is if you look at our roles as administrative assistants, naturally, which behavior comes to mind?
Serve first.
Right, exactly, because it's by nature what we do. It's our job. It's our role. So when you are demonstrating that behavior, give me some ideas of, like, how you find that easily adaptable in the workplace. So, Cassie, how do you serve first?
Well, I serve first by making sure that I'm understanding of the tasks that are given to me. So because I work for several different high levels, I have to make sure that their priorities match my priorities even when it's juggling. So making sure that I clarify expectations, clarify deadlines, and making sure to properly communicate so that way everything is flowing.
Right.
Is really the best way that I can serve first.
Yeah, that's great. And Letty, what about you? Your role's a little bit different from Cassie's. So.
Yeah, so even though it is different, you know, we are in a support role. So mainly it's basically the same thing, except for I have different departments that I also help out. And being at the company for 10 years, I am also an avenue for a lot of different people who need things. So my day, I could be in the middle of something, but if somebody comes and asks me a question or needs something immediately, I have to drop what I'm doing and switch my focus. So serving first is definitely the number one priority for me here at Datron, because it is what we do. It is everything that encompasses our role and is...
Yeah, it's just what you demonstrate every day. It's just part incorporated in your daily life.
Exactly.
It's your nature.
It's your nature. Great way to put it. Yeah. So before you ever got into the role of administration, if you reflect back, did you know that, were you gravitating towards jobs that also required service? I mean, has that always been the type of industry you've been in or the type of role?
So I'll answer first, Cassie. So, you know, I always kid my family that I've been a support person since I was 3 years old. So I'm the oldest of 6 siblings, and I'm always been the boss, the mom, the one who starts the games, the one who starts the stories as a child. And, you know, that definitely is the role that I've always... You know, it's my destiny. It's what God put in my heart. I do definitely agree with you, Lisa, that I gravitated towards support roles. It's what I like to do. I like helping people. And this is how I can show my best asset, is to support people.
Yeah. And Cassie, same for you. Have you always been in a support role?
I have, for the most part. I, granted, started out most of my young adult working life working in restaurants and customer service at different places, but I've always been, I needed to work at least 2 to 3 jobs and keep consistently busy because I enjoyed helping people. And when I had my son, I turned into a nanny where I was a manager of their household, so I was always serving first.
So a nanny and a mom at the same time.
Yes, a nanny and a mom. I went to school to be a dental assistant, and that didn't pan out for me. So then eventually I went to doing administrative tasks for my mom, who owns her own business, as well as my dad, who also owns his own business. And then eventually I got hired on as an actual administrative assistant at a kite manufacturing company. And I basically worked for 6 of the vice presidents that they had there, between sales, finance, and marketing. And then I was there for about 4 years, and then I came here to Datron, and then I recently was moved to servant leadership. So
it sounds like you've been working for 20 years.
I know.
And she's just barely 30, so
I really haven't always enjoyed keeping busy. You know, as you guys know, I'm in school and doing the mom thing and doing the work thing, and I get really what would be the word? Unsettled when I'm not consistently busy, because I have a lot of energy and I need to get it out.
I understand. I can relate as well. And interestingly enough, I've had kind of a weird route with my background. I was in retail sales for a long time and transitioned into actual manufacturing sales. And I got to a point where I was in the human resources role and still serving my company and serving other people, but I had previously been an executive assistant, and it got to a point where I just really wasn't enjoying what I was doing. I missed that true support role of being behind the scenes and helping other people be successful. And I finally had an aha moment in my late 30s where I realized that what my gift is in the role of service, administration, and hospitality. So I gravitated back to the role of executive assistant when I actually came here to work at Datron, and feel like I finally found where my skill set and my gifts match up in this role. And it's the best job I've ever had, is being in the role of an executive assistant and an administrative assistant.
I agree with you, Lisa. It's definitely very rewarding. And people always ask me, do you want to do something else? And, you know, maybe I will do something else in the future, but right now this is where I'm happy. I'm happy doing what I do.
That's what's important, especially when you spend so many waking hours at work versus with your family. You want to make sure you're in a role that you enjoy and surrounded by people you enjoy working with.
Yeah, I can't even imagine an area where I would be more fulfilled in my work if I didn't have multiple people, multiple projects, and an ever-changing workload. It's fun. It keeps it interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
It keeps it interesting. It's great.
So, well, when we serve first, so we naturally think of it as when we serve other people. But one of the big areas that I think people neglect is serving first when you serve yourself. So I know each of you are very conscious about making sure that you take time to take care of yourself first. So Cassie, tell me what that means about how you serve yourself first so that you can serve others.
I do my best to work out every morning and to make sure that I'm providing myself with appropriate nutrition, I guess would be the right thing, with food prepping, not only for myself but for everybody else. And I find that it gets my day off on a better track when I wake up and work out and then go about my day. And
in this case, starting her morning sometimes at 4:30 just to get going.
It's usually 4:30.
Definitely admire that. But.
Yeah. Keep it up. Yeah, I don't know if you'll be able to do that when you're 40, like me.
5:30 is sleeping in.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. And then what about for you, Letty?
So about 4 years ago, I went through a really tough work situation, and that stressed me out. I was really stressed, and I wasn't taking time for myself, which then stressed me out even more. My health was not where it should be, and I started taking time for myself. So for me, that means getting my hair cut every 12 weeks. That means getting my nails done once a month, taking time for myself. Now, it's really hard for people to do, but what I've learned is you gotta schedule it. So when you're there getting your hair cut, you schedule your next one. When you're there getting your nails done, you schedule your next one. Because once you schedule it, I like to try and keep my commitments. Sometimes it doesn't always happen. Sometimes things come up. But at least I know in 12 weeks, I get to spend 2 hours with my favorite hair person. And that makes me feel good. I've always been the type of person that needs alone time. I thrive being alone. I know that sounds horrible, but that gets me centered. I need at least 15 to 20 minutes of myself so that I can gather myself up. I can strengthen whatever I need to strengthen. And
you're thinking about your thinking.
I'm thinking about my thinking.
Hey, that's another
exactly.
behavior.
So serving first really impacted my life and my health. And so it's really important to take time for yourself. You don't have to do the pampering. You can do the working out. You can sit for 20 minutes and do your devotionals or read a good book, mm-hmm. or even just close your eyes and take a nap. It's really important to serve yourself because we help so many people. Yeah. If you took the time in a day to count how many people you have helped, I bet between all three of us, it would be at least 100 people.
It's a lot.
Right. You're right. You know, because not only do we help people within our home, which is a given, and then all the people that we help inside the organizations that we work in, but then all the people that we impact outside the organizations. So it trickles.
It does, yes.
And sometimes we need a break. So yes, it's okay to take a break.
Do. Yes, and I will tell you, Letty is my role model as far as doing this. And I know you guys in podcast land can't see her, but she always looks very fabulous and has her makeup done, her hair done really well. But and she's the one that's fussing at me all the time, Lisa, you just need to take some time for yourself. So I'm still working on that. I am doing some preventative health measures, but I'm still trying to get to the point that I can do my nails every 12 weeks and hopefully have a massage here and there.
You gotta schedule it.
I gotta schedule it. I'm gonna take that advice. I'm just gonna go, after this, I'm gonna go schedule for sure.
Yay.
So one of the things that Letty alluded to, I found very interesting. We went through servant leadership refresher training here at our Datron companies and Servant Leadership Institute. And one of the things we were asked to do was fill out a survey in which we needed to determine what one behavior we needed to work on, whether it was something we struggled with or just an area we wanted to focus in. So a quick round, tell me which behavior you chose, Cassie.
Thinking about your thinking.
Letty.
Think about your thinking.
And guess what I chose?
Think about your thinking.
I find that very ironic that the three of us in the roles that we're in and in our main behavior being served first, that think about your thinking was consistent for all of us. And we have one more admin partner we work with, and I bet you if we went and asked her, she probably would have the same answer. And why do you think that is?
Well, for me personally, I think we work so hard on supporting other people that we are always thinking about what we're thinking. We're always thinking of how to juggle the 10 different departments that we work with, the 5 different executives that we work with. So our responses, our priorities, we're always thinking about what is the next move. We need to stay one step ahead of everyone. And thinking about our thinking, whether it's a scheduling situation, whether it's our responses, because sometimes it's hard to get 6 tasks and be happy about it.
Right.
So you have to smile, and keep what you really want to say on the inside and think about the other person. I constantly do that here at work. My priorities are not everyone else's priorities. I know that as a team here at Datron, we have to work together. And the ultimate goal is making our customers happy and putting out a product that we are proud of and supporting each other. We are a family here. So when someone comes to me and says, hey, I need this, I have to think about what they're going through. There's a reason why they're asking me. So I can't get annoyed. I can't get irritated. I have to internalize all those emotions and be happy to serve because that is my role.
Right. And, you know, with juggling, we're in a unique role where we have multiple divisions within the same company. And so I feel like some days it's just trying to keep your head on straight of remembering which division you're working for. That seems to be my biggest challenge. Cassie, what about you? What think about your thinking?
So on our little assessment that we ended up having to take, we were told, as you said, to pick something we needed to work on and something we felt we did well. And I found it interesting because both of my big ones were in Think About Your Thinking. And the one that I said that I do well is that I'm aware of how my behaviors impact others, and I make modifications to my behaviors to best meet their needs, which is exactly what Letty was just talking about, right, with really modifying how your outward face is when your inward is kind of like, oh my gosh, like I just got handed 6 tests, how am I going to get it all done? And then you're like, nope, no problem. That's totally okay. I can do it. Yeah. And that's the role of essentially not only an admin, but a servant leader.
That's correct.
You've got to really, like you, exactly what you're saying, think about the other people that you're affecting. And I always think about that when it comes to my behavior throughout, even when I'm at the grocery store and I'm checking out at the clerk and I'm in a grumpy mood because my grocery bill is going to be higher than I thought it was. And it's not the clerk's fault. So you just got to smile through it and just say, yeah.
Right. So when it does come to your personal life, how do you translate the think about your thinking behavior to your role as a parent, as mom?
So for me, with what I feel I do well with modifying my behavior, I'm normally really good about internalizing when I'm not exactly 100% yay mom at the moment. And a big part of what I do with parenting with my kids is trying to make sure that they start their day every day with a great mindset. So I tell them, you know, even if I'm not showing them a good example, I'm making sure to say, you know what, let's change our day. What can we do in this moment to make us happy? Because my behavior is impacting you guys, which your behavior is going to go out and impact. So let's think about how we can make someone else smile today. Let's think about how we can help someone else today, because our outward behavior influences other people's inward behavior.
And this isn't even like a set family discussion. This is things you're doing just on the way of taking them to school and in the car, right?
Yes. Every morning we have 4 Bible-centered books that we read, 2 devotionals and then 2 quick story books. And we read all 4 of those, 2 per kid. And then we talk about, what are you going to do today to help somebody? What are you going to do today to make someone smile? Even if we didn't have a bad morning, it's just, I like to remind them and let them know, you know, you have the power to make the right decision. So remember, you know, help your friends make the right decision by you making the right decision. You don't need to get mad or tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, but just be that positive influence.
And then, Letty, you've got an older child.
I do.
Well, who's an adult now.
She's an adult.
How did Think About Your Thinking impact your role as parenting your daughter?
Well, Cassie, I just want to say I think I'm going to take your advice there and start using that with my younger son, because that is a great, it's a great thing.
Thank you.
You know, it definitely will change his outlook. I know that he has struggling with control. He's very black and white, and if somebody's doing something wrong, he's constantly always
shame.
You know, going in and trying to fix it. But it really does make a difference when you switch their thinking and asking them to be positive, help mm-hmm. someone out, but you know, also be aware of your own behavior. So I'm going to take your advice there and use that.
And it's okay to give them little examples. Like sometimes if my kids don't have a thing, I'll say, well, what about picking up a piece of trash that you find on the ground? Because right. nobody likes litter. Or what about,
that's
you know,
great. That's a good
helping
idea.
Your teacher when the bell rings instead of rushing out to recess, seeing if there's something you can help your teacher with. So you can give them a little example.
That's great. So in regards to my former teenager, who is now an adult, you know, that was I was going through her teenage years when we first started doing servant leadership, and it really saved my life. Servant leadership saved my life dealing with
probably
a teenager.
Your daughter's too.
Probably hers too. She thanks everybody. We were struggling. It was very difficult having a teenager, having a rebellious teenager, but she's a really good kid, so she's not that rebellious. But in my mind, it was bad. You know, as a single parent, I'm trying to make sure this girl is a good kid, it goes to school and does what she needs to do and still, you know, follow our Christian values. So it was difficult for me being alone in that situation. So what I struggled with when it came to her was listening to her. I struggled with listening to understand what she was telling me, what her behavior was, what she was going through. I mean, if we all remember what it was like to be 15 years old, it was horrible. It's not that easy. It's hormonal. It's sometimes you have to deal with bullies. Sometimes you have to deal with your own parents, your home life, your childhood. So it's not easy. And I wasn't listening to her. So I really worked on taking the time to listen to what she was trying to say, validate her, because that's basically what she wanted. She would ask me to go places, and I would immediately say no. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I couldn't say no anymore. I didn't have a reason. She was older. She could take care of herself. She didn't need mommy to hold her hand. And the growing up part was really difficult for me. But I needed to listen to her. I needed to listen and understand what she was saying, because basically what she was saying is, I'm growing up.
Mm-hmm. And another one of our values, one of our behaviors, listening to understand. So right. You're still practicing that as well.
Yeah, and now even as an adult, I have to constantly step back and say to myself, okay, this is a grown person. You can't treat her like a little kid. So whatever it is you were going to say, walk away, come back, and have a conversation with her like if you were having a conversation with a coworker. Because when she is asking me a question, or when she is going through a bad day or trying to vent, I can't treat her like my baby girl. I have to treat her like if I'm talking to Lisa or talking to Cassie. I wouldn't get mad at you guys. I wouldn't tell you guys what to do. I would give my advice, stay calm, and not worry about, oh my gosh, my kid is doing this or my kid wants to do that. It's not about that. She's, you know, she's her own person. She's got her own mind, and sometimes all she wants is a friend.
Right. Yeah, it's nice that she can finally have that role with her as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And I've got a tween, as my 10-year-old keeps reminding me, that is also wanting control. So I feel like we're going through some of that teenage rebellion, but during the tween phase. And I had an interaction with him yesterday, and just had to step back and realize, okay, if I think about where his mindset is, if I can remember way back to when I was 10 years old and how I wanted a little bit of independence, you know, I need to understand that he's just looking for having a little more freedom. So if I can put myself in his shoes, still be the parent, of course,
right,
but look at opportunities where I can allow a little bit of that control so that he can grow up to be a secure individual. You know, it definitely takes a lot of thinking about my thinking as a parent and understanding what would be a good way to move forward with helping him also be able to stop and analyze and think about his reaction to certain situations.
So, right.
I'm hoping that I don't run into some of those teenage battles like I went through with my older stepsons, and that was before servant leadership came along. And
right.
So I believe taking a lot of these behaviors and incorporating them into your family life makes for hopefully a better experience as a parent.
Well,
I'll find out soon.
If you think about it, it's interesting because, and I didn't share it with my own, but we're all kind of had the experience with our kids where we want to react defensively, which is part thinking about your thinking to avoid acting that way.
Exactly.
And not, and granted, it talks about with receiving and giving feedback that you don't react defensively, but the reality is all of us have experienced where our kids come to us in a way that just as an adult thinking if another adult came to me in this manner, I would be defensive.
Right.
And we don't react that way to them, but we struggle with that with our kids because we forget that that's a little person.
Right.
Yes, I created you and you shouldn't be talking to me this way. But regardless, it's a little human being with their own feelings and agendas and everything right. else. And as a parent, I find myself struggling with that sometimes to remember, you know, just because I don't want him talking to me that way doesn't mean that, not saying that that's appropriate, but remembering to not be defensive,
right.
like you were saying, Letty, and just to really remember this person is going to be somebody that I want to have dinner with later on
exactly.
in the day.
Yeah.
And if I don't respond appropriately and, you know, help them by,
right.
you know, listening to understand
yeah.
and doing all those things, that it can really affect your relationship, which is one of the hardest things as a parent, because that's when you start being that grumpy parent is when
yeah.
right.
you refuse to let them be their own little person,
right.
like you're saying. And it's definitely a matter of figuring out where the balance is.
It's always a balancing act.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So with thinking about your thinking, we're all wives and spouses. So how does that behavior interpret in your relationship with your significant other?
So for me personally, my behavior in regards to interacting with my husband is greatly improved from my past relationships. It was in the middle of, you know, learning how to be a servant leader. One thing that I took from our servant leadership training, which was a long time ago for me, is back in 2008, was the main thing was I can't change anyone.
Mm.
I can't change anyone but myself.
Right.
So once I started dealing with my own issues and learning the 9 behaviors and incorporating them into my personal mindset. It wasn't even my personal life. It was just my personal mindset. Stopping what I'm doing. Am I serving my child? Am I serving my boss? Am I serving my friends, my mother, my boyfriend, my husband, whoever the person was at the time? Am I serving them? Okay, so then you stop yourself and think about that. Then you go on to the next one, you know, and you just keep going down the list. It's not easy, and it took me many, many years to get where I'm at now. But in my new relationship, in my new marriage, I'm constantly stopping myself and saying, am I serving my husband?
And this is a two-way street because he's
right.
also adopting these behaviors as well.
He definitely has.
So you're able to have communication between the two of you on, you know, you can even call each other out, I would think.
Oh, we definitely do. And we are always trying to regroup and talk and communicate and say, wait a minute, let's not get into an argument. Let's sit down and talk about what just happened. And Did you listen to understand what I was saying? That's my big thing, is listening to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely that takes a lot of work. It's not something that you can fix overnight. It's constantly working on. Marriage is constantly working
Absolutely.
Anyways. You're constantly working on your relationship. And
then part of what you did too is you took those behaviors and you were able to actually sit down with your husband and develop family values that you all follow as well, right?
Right. And the biggest one is always communicate.
That's a great one.
the communication has to be number one in a relationship. You have to have trust, but if you can't communicate what's going on, that relationship will not work.
Right. That was the one item I wish someone would have taught me earlier. It was how to communicate men versus women. And I cite a book that I absolutely love, that men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti, by Bill and Pam Farrell. But it was a great explanation. It's pretty simplistic, you know, using food as an example, but about how men communicate with thinking about whatever's the box they're in. So there's a sports box, there's a work box, there's a nothing box that sometimes they're in. But
sometimes.
But until they're out of that box, we can't be our spaghetti selves and go from one thought to another thought to another thought. You actually told me about how sometimes you'll come home and you'll tell your husband a bunch of different things, and you can see it in his eyes where he's just trying to keep up.
Yeah,
he's not sure which box to get in.
He's still on the first thing I told him, and I'm at number six, so poor guy.
Yeah, but I wish that I would have learned that lesson earlier. I think it would have helped save a few arguments here and there if I knew how to effectively communicate with my husband as well. So, Cassie, how do you interpret Think About Your Thinking in your relationship?
So, with Thinking About My Thinking, I try my best to really hear what Jensen is saying. I don't always communicate in a way that he responds well to, because he is definitely more of a fix-it person rather than a cheerleader for me necessarily.
Yes, so you have your coworkers as your cheerleaders.
Yes, I have my coworkers as my cheerleaders, my friends, and those are the people that I go to when I just want you to listen to me. I don't need a solution.
I just want you to listen.
Pom
poms. Just throw them at us so we know. Oh, it's cheerleading time. All right.
He needs a signal. But however, he is there for me when I need some advice or I need some just guidance on where I think I need to go. He is wonderful at fixing and being open-minded and really objective, and he's very straight to the point, guys.
If you're thinking about your thinking on how
I need to go to him straight. I need to give him no fluff. I need to give him no backstory. I need to say, hey, here's my issue. Here's an outcome that I see. What do you think? And then he will respond to me. And with thinking about my thinking with him is just really remembering that, especially when giving feedback. I don't need to go into this long 2-minute story that requires a yes or a no answer.
I they don't need work to, well with that.
No, no, they don't. And a big part of that too is really just, again, this is my second marriage, and really just going into that, remembering what didn't work in my first marriage.
Yes.
And also remembering that even though it's my second marriage, this is a second completely separate person.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Remembering that he's got his own motivations and his own, I don't want to say agenda because that sounds negative, but really it's what it is.
Right.
So just because he might have a similar behavior doesn't mean that he's going to have the same outcome. So thinking about how to interact and how to not become defensive when certain things come into play, because I need to give him the
grace.
That he needs.
So we'll just kind of wrap it up. So what advice would you give other working moms on how they can bring servant leadership into their personal lives?
I would suggest start incredibly small, because it can be very overwhelming to attempt to jump in and overhaul your entire family.
So give me an example of small. What would you do? Something small.
I would say to think about one behavior where you feel you do well in, and really attempt to not just amplify it, but to state it. You know, I mean, if you think about any training that you do, you have objectives. So if you were to come to your family and say, these are my objectives for our day.
Yes.
Right. And then you're gonna, and at the end of the day, you can say, hey, did you help someone today? What did you do to make somebody smile? And check in. And as far as something that you could, a takeaway to do for something that you're struggling with, is really just ask, just honestly get feedback and don't be defensive.
Right.
If you say to your spouse or your kids, like, hey, what does mommy need to work on? You will be shocked at what they come back with. Like,
and you have to be prepared that it may not be an answer that you want.
Yes.
But you ask the question, yes. So don't be afraid of the answer.
My biggest feedback from my kids is that I don't spend enough time one-on-one with them. Mm-hmm. And as much as that can be a hard pill to swallow, because I'm over here thinking, what do you mean? Like, we have all these great things that we do all the time. And my kids are like, we just want you to take us to the park. Mm-hmm. We don't need to drive, go do this, go do that. Like, just go to the park with us. Just read a book with me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be prepared and listen.
Listen to understand. Letty, how about you?
Well, like Cassie was saying, you definitely have to start small. You know, when it comes to your kids, think about them as, like Cassie said, little people. They may not be grown up, but sometimes they act grown up. Mm-hmm. You treat them like you would treat your coworker or your friend. Give them that validation that they need. Start really small, though, and always ask yourself, am I listening? It's not going to be an outward change within your family dynamic until you start changing within yourself. So if you're struggling with any of those 9 behaviors, you have to take that behavior on and just immerse yourself on what can I do better. Once you start changing yourself, that's going to go into your home life, and then you can start changing the behaviors within your family dynamic. One thing I'm always telling my husband, and I'm sure he gets a little annoyed with me sometimes, is, are you listening to understand me? And, you know, sometimes I have to literally sit him down on the couch, sit on his lap, look him in his face, and I have to tell him, are you listening to understand me? Repeat back what I just said, and are you hearing me? And I literally have to do that so that he understands that I'm really serious about this situation, and I want you to pay attention to me, not to the football game, not to your cell phone.
That you need his help as a partner.
And I need his help as a partner, and that it's important to me. It's the same way with him. Guys, they have a hard time asking for help.
Yes.
But when they do ask for help, we need to be there. We need to be in present. We need to turn off whatever it is we're turning off. If we're in the middle of doing something with the kids, we need to tell our kids, give me about 10 minutes. I need to go talk to daddy. And give your husband 100% of your time. It's not easy. But when your husband asks for help, we have to turn around, because we're constantly asking for their help.
Yes.
And they don't do that to us.
Right.
You know, they are the man of the house, and when they come up with something, we have to be there 100% and not have any distractions. That is how we serve them.
Yeah, it's got to be that partnership that you're helping each other out. All right, so if I recap what we talked about today, I think the biggest takeaways are, start with, amongst the 9 behaviors, pick just one. Pick one to start with,
right.
One that you could work on. And if it happens to be serve first, remember that means you also have to serve yourself. If
mm-hmm.
you are not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of anyone else.
That's right.
And then when think about your thinking, just to really take time to reflect. That'll help you understand when you need to move from one behavior to another, if you've mastered one, when you can go on to the next one. And I think if you could just pick that one to start with, that one behavior to work on, you'll start noticing changes with the way people react around you, the way your family reacts, and hopefully it'll put you on a new journey to bring servant leadership into your work life as well as your family life. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Appreciate your time today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And for more information on the Servant Leadership Institute, visit us on our website. That's www.servantleadershipinstitute.com. And registration is now open for our 2018 Servant Leadership Conference titled Shift Into Drive. On stage, we have the pleasure of having presentations by our founder, Art Barter, as well as Mark Miller, VP of Training and Development for Chick-fil-A. Returning from last year, we have Vicki Clark and also Ken Blanchard, with more speakers to be announced soon. The conference will be held at the Marriott Marquis in San Diego, California, February 19th and 20th. with a complimentary networking event February 18th. And you can also subscribe now to receive our weekly tips by going onto our website. These are great short tips that are intended to challenge and motivate you while you are going through your servant leadership journey. And finally, we would love you to grab a copy of our latest publication, The Servant Leadership Journal, written by SLI founder and CEO Art Barter. This is an 18-week journey to transform you and your organization, available now on our website and on Amazon.com. Thank you for listening and allowing us to add value to your day.
Honestly, I think that we're going to go through and just start asking people what we feel like makes a good leader. And we're going to start attacking and breaking down a lot of the behaviors that we talk about. So it could be 4 episodes, it could be 6 episodes, it could be more than that. But another thing that would really benefit us is you guys letting us know what you feel a good leader is. But that requires you guys to email us. And so, but we want to hear from you guys. So please email us at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. And just let us know exactly what you find to be the best traits of a good leader and of a good servant leader. Because we'll be able to talk about it on here, and we'll be able to dissect that and talk about that more and expand on it. So I would be really excited to see the feedback that we get from you guys. So.
Yeah, that'd be super.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we have our registration now open for Servant Leadership Conference 2018, Shift into Drive.
Yeah, super exciting.
Navigating Servant Leadership. We're really, really excited about this one. Will be probably the most interactive conference we have had in, well, this will be the 8th year.
Yeah.
So really, really looking forward to it. And early bird pricing is in effect, guys, so register.
Yeah, definitely. And so for now, this is... us at the Servant Leadership Institute and for this podcast signing off, and we can't wait to talk about more things next week. So thank you, Carol.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye.
Bye.